Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How we doing on this Thursday? This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. We need an expert to help navigate the home loan process. Rocket can coming up 20 minutes from now. Man, that won a national championship at the Ohio State. That's going to be Joshua Perry. He's going to stop by, chat some Big Ten football with us. Does Indiana have a shot up against Ohio State this weekend? Who's going to win between the Battle of Wisco and Northwestern? And what the heck is going on with Penn State and also Michigan, too? Ugly, ugly, ugly times to be a Wolverine or a Nittany Lion fan. Bill Reiter also going to stop by. Who? Yeah, that's right, Bill Reiter. We used to host in this time slot. Now he's doing 10 a.m. to noon Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. Many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Sirius XM, Channel 206 and the Radio.com application. We're going to have some fun with Billy as he's going to join us in his old time slot. And we will chat all things basketball. Klay Thompson, season-ending surgery. Going to be out the entire season with a torn Achilles. Missed all last season because of the ACL that he suffered in the finals. The torn ACL when the Golden State Warriors did lose to the Toronto Raptors. We will also recap the draft and get a little preview of NBA free agency and some big trades that could materialize in the next few days. So we'll do that with Bill Reiter coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. I don't know if you're a big fan of this, Trace. Have you seen these unboxings on the internet, which have really taken off during the pandemic when everyone's at home and people want things sent to them? Are you a fan of the unboxings?
Just like videos of people opening up boxes and seeing what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, no.
Why not? That's because you don't get anything sent to you, probably.
Well, that is 100% true.
Which, to be fair, I enjoy them because I like to see what crap people send them. I watch Frank the Tank on Barstool all the time, and people send him mugs. People send him stupid things. Today, though, he got an unbelievable gift sent to him. A Miami Dolphins signed Dan Marino jersey. Now, if anyone's out there in the listening audience and loves this show, if you want to send me something cool like that, and I've gotten things before like T-shirts, sweatshirts, pork rinds from my friends at Rudolph Foods. Like, if you want to send anything to me, you can. 345 Hudson Street, Tension, Zach Gelb, 10th floor, CBS Sports Radio, New York, New York. What's our zip code here? Is it 10006?
I think it's 10014.
Okay.
I think.
Gotcha. So, and you can check it out.
You can Google that.
If you want to send me something, that's how you do it. 345 Hudson Street, New York, New York, 10th floor, attention, Zach Gelb with CBS Sports Radio. And maybe we'll see what we get. If you send me something good, has to be good, then I'll talk about it on the air and maybe do a little video. But a signed, and it was framed too. Well, you just threw a Dan Marino jersey in a bag and sent it to someone, which is still would be pretty nice. A framed sign. Dan Marino jersey. That's pretty damn cool. You see Frank mini golf earlier today? I know you're a big Frank the Tank fan.
I saw him. I saw a video of him attempting to mini golf. I wouldn't say.
How do you get a 10 in a mini golf hole?
When you are hitting the ball, like where you're just hoping it stays on
the
course.
Hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call that mini golf.
I think he was trying on the initial shot, and then he got frustrated that it did not go in the hole. So he kept on trying to smack the ball around, and then he broke the head of the golf club.
That seems hard to do, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to... There's a ton of viral videos out there. I don't think I've ever seen...
Aaron Donald Hulk smash.
Right. Someone break a mini golf club before. That is... something else.
Do you think there's probably like 14, 15, 16-year-old kids watching that. Are they then going to go to the mini golf range and start smashing the putter on the green to try to replicate and imitate, be like Frank the Tank?
I'm going to say yes. It's very impressionable. We've seen people imitate crazy stuff before. Why the hell not?
You know who's tight with Frank?
Who?
Guy that was on your radio show today. I was listening to that, by the way.
Oh, your former producer. That's
Mikey,
you know what?
B. You had a brain fart early in the interview.
I did.
Yeah. Uh-oh. You were introducing him. I don't remember the whole thing. You forgot what you wanted to say. And you go, yeah, and I don't know how to speak, blah, blah, blah.
Happens way more than it should, but
now
yes.
I'm a little offended. Mikey B is the guy that you're going to for that?
Well, I'll give you my thoughts here.
You can't get a better guest picker than Mikey B?
Well, in terms of notoriety, he's probably the most famous person I've had do the guest.
That's
mostly
pathetic.
Just mostly close friends trying to have a good time.
You have not reached out to me.
Would you want to come on?
Yeah,
I know
come
you're
on, why
a busy
not?
Media
person. I'm not
personality.
A jerk. I'm not a douche. I'd come on your radio show. What is that? The worldwide. What is it?
Worldwide
called?
Sports Radio Network. Mm-hmm. It's all digital, so it's anywhere you can listen.
You
gotta to
You got
to
get a better
stream.
Voiceover guy, by the way.
Well,
not a good voiceover guy.
You know, it's a low
budget.
How do I say
operation.
This without?
It's a low budget operation.
Money is tight everywhere.
Do they pay you?
No.
Okay, so
you
can
money,
say it's a low
money
budget
is very
operation.
Very tight. Let's just say we can't afford the same voiceover guys that, say, CBS Sports Radio or Intercom has.
Paul Turner or Guy Doug.
Professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Right, obviously. You
yeah,
know.
But that sounded very college-like on the rejoin.
Well.
Now, you're friendly enough with Doug here at CBS Sports Radio. I'm sure Doug would do you a solid and would get you some good voiceovers. You would think.
I know he's very busy. I just don't want to be a bother.
Hey, too
hey
nice of a
you
person.
Know, help me out
but
here,
Mikey
record
B,
a few
I
things.
I love Mike. And Mikey B cannot be a featured guest on your
so
show.
So here, I'll explain to you how it came about. So on Twitter
he
earlier this
you
week.
To do it.
No. I tweeted about how I don't understand. I need someone smart. A smart basketball mind is how I put it. Explain okay. to me how a Kyrie, Katie, Harden trio works out.
Okay.
Mikey B responds, I will answer or I can explain.
Mm-hmm.
So I text him, okay, you know what? You want to come on the show and do a little pick segment, Hickey's Pickies? You want to come on and talk
Hickey's
a little Nets?
Pickies.
And he goes,
I like that.
Not only does he say, sure, I'll come on, but he goes, actually, to be fair, I don't think it's going to work out.
Really?
So he did
here's
kind of
the,
a 180.
I talked 180. To Mike last night. I talked to Mike last night. And what's up with your microphone today? You sound as if you're in an ocean. You know when you listen to a seashell and you hear... And you could hear the ocean? Why does your microphone sound as if I think you're in the ocean?
I mean, again, we are working with some bare bones.
No, we're not low budget
here.
We have a big budget at CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, no, not here. Forefront. Not here. Yes, you're right.
No, I'm saying right your microphone right now.
Oh.
In my headset, hearing this noise. Is it because the heat is on?
It's probably whoever constructed this studio. Mm-hmm. Thought it'd be a great idea to
not
put the vents right above my head. I wasn't sure if you could hear it or not. I didn't want to bring it up. But yes, I turned the heat down, and all of a sudden now it's blasting.
Gotcha.
So that is why I sound like I'm in the middle of the ocean.
Okay. Well, how early do you do that show, by the way?
9 a.m. 9 to 11 a.m. Okay. Twice a week.
So I do a 10:30 Hickey's Pickies one day, 10 o'clock.
10:40. There we go. End of the
Lock
show.
Lock me in. Look at the type of person I am. I'm helping... A guy that does great work for me and Ryan Tracecki. I will return the favor. You show up, you do great work. Of course, Zach Gelman, Hickey's Pickies. We'll go from like what, 5 listeners to about 25 listeners.
Listen, you're saying you can up my share 5 times? I'm in.
Nah, I'm just,
5 times
I'm just
the audience.
I'm playing with you. Has Jay Berman been on that yet?
No, that
has
is
Mraz
not.
Has been on that?
No.
Oh, wait. Oh, well, Mraz is on the air. Oh, no, at 10 something.
Well, he's off.
I
haven't
show.
Really had too many people
you
on CBS
Mraz
Sports
would
Radio.
Love to do that because you don't want to bother people. You
I
get,
don't. I know.
You
people
get
are
Bill.
Busy.
You could, well, maybe not Bill at that time. You could get DA. You could get, I'm sure, BT would do it. People like you here. Have a little confidence.
I should have Sharp Tierney on. He does. Although, the only thing I don't want to step on his bounds of his picks the next day. So.
Trust me. BT would do it for you. There's no doubt. You don't get Amy. Get JR. You got to get the whole lineup on there.
Still a rotation?
Why not? Use your connections. That's what I would do if I was hosting that show. And then what you do is you send it to Chernoff or you send it to Mayernick. See, I'm going to help you here. Holidays are coming up. They need people to work on Christmas. They need people to work on New Year's. Now, they put anyone on in Christmas and New Year's.
You would think. See, they are Thomas desperate for people. New Year's. They're not desperate for on-air people.
Now, hold on. I love Chris Thomas. Chris Thomas asked last year. He was producer for Amy. They put him on. That could be you. You're the same person.
I mean, I asked.
Oh, really? I told you no.
They said no. But again,
Tape, though? Did you give them tape?
I've sent David and Mark plenty of tape over the years.
Here's what you need to do, because no one has perfected, and no one has probably emailed Mark Chernoff and David Mayernick when they didn't work here more than me, and Spitz when he worked here. You got to send them good audio. I need you going nuts, showing personality, big, bold opinions, and then also you send them interviews with notable people. Or people that at least they know. So if you have BT on, you do a good interview with BT. Send to them, hey, can you critique the interview? Or they really want more opinions. So you do a segment, then you send it to them. But it's got to be good. Can't just be some crappy opinion on, I think the Jets are going to win this weekend. Which no one thinks.
So you think that you just hit the crux of the issue. I send them audio. It's just bad audio, I guess.
No.
That's the issue.
I listened today for about 30 minutes. You're good.
Wow. Jeez, thanks, Zach.
Telling me now I have to go call Chernoff after the show and say, put my guy Ryan Tracecki on the air?
I'm not putting you in a bad spot.
Chernoff would go, stop it.
I'm going to get an email.
Getting too big.
Solicit other hosts to help your career. Do it yourself.
I don't think they would ever send that out. I think they would be happy that there's talent.
Right,
they would
passively aggressively send an email to the producers. Don't solicit your on-air hosts for opportunities.
Has that happened before?
No.
I was going to say, I would not think that would happen here. Let me get to the draft, though. And you got to turn your microphone off because it's driving me bonkers. You sound as if you're in an ocean. But when I get to the draft last night, three things that annoy me with the draft. And this happens every year with the draft because the league year didn't start yet. None of these trades could be finalized. It is the dumbest thing. They have all these trades going down. They have the big board on ESPN's broadcast. So-and-so makes a trade, but it doesn't tell you that. So the Knicks, they make a trade. They put the draft pick of a guy that's not even on their team. Kid's wearing a wrong hat. It's ridiculous. And the bottom line, the ticker on the bottom of the screen, they tell you the trades happen. So why can't you put that on the big screen? The NFL draft is so easy when a trade happens. This team trades that. Boom, boom, boom. But because the league year doesn't start and the trade isn't processed and finalized yet, you can't tell everyone that it happened when everyone in the world knows that the trade happened. So that's number one. Number two, and I'll get back to something that has to do with it for my third point. But number two, Woj. And I wonder what people think about this. Woj and Shams have every draft pick out there 6-7 minutes before it happened. Now, you could tell me, Zach, don't go on Twitter during the draft. Fine. And to be fair, I even abused it last night because I'm sitting here trying to give you the picks in real time and I'm waiting on the TV to go to a break. And I go, you know what? Screw waiting on the TV. I'll go on Twitter. Oh, not only do we have the fourth pick, we have the fifth pick, the sixth pick, and the seventh pick. From an ESPN standpoint, and I guess Stadium and The Athletic, they don't care because that Shams getting his name out there more and he doesn't need help getting his name out there. But for Woj, if you're ESPN, do you tell him, come on our air and just basically tweet on our air and just give all the picks out? Because ESPN, and this is the third point, they got caught with their pants down last night pretty much. Yeah, John Calipari on, and he's being interviewed by Reese Davis, and Reese Davis doesn't know the information because it's a big secret on the ESPN broadcast of who got traded. And they're talking about Emmanuel Quickley. And Emmanuel Quickley, he got traded to the Knicks. And Calipari goes, he's going to the Knicks. You got to know he's going to the Knicks. They're getting a worker, a great kid, a terrific basketball player. But Emmanuel Quickley was originally drafted by the Thunder. So that drove me bonkers last night. And I was able to use it to my advantage because we got you the news as quick as we can. But isn't there part of you that, if you're ESPN, you want that information on your air, not on Twitter? Woj doesn't make any money off the tweets. I'm sure he has deals and things that people will say, oh, yeah, tweet out this ad, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully it just doesn't turn into an Ian Rappaport situation at the NFL Network where he got suspended for 2 weeks for tweeting about Manscaped because he didn't run that by the NFL. But why not just have Woj in the breaking news room and have him say all the picks? And another part is, to me, I think it's obnoxious. And I feel this way at the NFL as well. I think they've limited a little bit in the NFL. I think it's so obnoxious when people spoil the draft picks. Now, you could stay off Twitter, and I get that argument too. Mraz and Mikey B would always tell me, stay off Twitter, stay off Twitter. Fine, I'll stay off Twitter. That's fine. But there's a lot of times where you're just like, oh, it's, you know, 8:30. Oh, we see 30 minutes of the draft. Let me go see what kind of news is going on in the world. And it's like, oh, all the draft picks on your phone. And you do that in a way that you're not intending to do so. So I guess you really do got to stay off Twitter for the draft. But is it impressive to me? This isn't like a major breaking news trade or something like that. You know, it's not a blockbuster deal. Harden gets dealt to the Nets and we want to have that information. And that's the breaking news that you want to get out before a press release. I get that part. That's part of the job. To be 3-4 minutes in front of a draft pick, you don't need to spoil that for me. Let it play out naturally on television. Too many times in this world, we're told so many things. We don't need to know all the information. Woj, Shams, you're the two guys that we know get all the information. Do I look at Woj? Ooh, Woj, he got this draft pick 10 seconds before Shams. I'm sure there's some loser out there that keeps track of all that stuff. It's not impressive to me. If you're on your broadcast, you want to break the news of your broadcast, fine. You don't need to do it on Twitter. And it's so-and-so is targeting or so-and-so is suggesting that they'll take them. We got to get all then technical here because, oh, I didn't exactly tell you. We all know that you're spoiling it. So that annoyed me last night. But the ESPN part, they got burned because Woj had the Emmanuel Quickly stuff. And Reese Davis, no one told him, oh, yeah, Emmanuel Quickly, he got traded from the Thunder to the Knicks. And Calipari's basically saying, yeah, I got my news from Woj. How do you guys not know that? You got to know he's going to the Mecca. Going to play at Madison Square Garden for Leon Rose. As the Knicks also drafted Obi Toppin last night. So those are a few things that annoy me with the draft. The NBA draft has no juice, though. NFL draft, a lot of juice, a lot of buzz. It would have been the lead topic today if this was the NFL draft. The NBA, I mean, what do? Hour and 5 minutes, and we finally brought up the NBA draft in extensive detail other than just mentioning it in passing. This was, I know this, you know, last year you had Zion, you had Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, big names. Maybe there's just not high expectations for Anthony Edwards and, you know, James Wiseman, I think, is the best player in the draft. LaMelo Ball. I'm not saying they can't be great players, but it didn't seem, the way I should say this probably, it didn't seem to be a lot of national buzz and juice for this draft. But each and every year, here's what I expect of the draft. Woj and Shams ruining the draft for you. And the networks being so protective on saying that a trade happened. And then after telling you a trade happens, you got to update the big board. At the end of the night last night, they show you the big board and you would have thought that Emmanuel Quickly was still on the OKC Thunder. And then you see the bottom line. Oh, yeah, he got traded to the Knicks. Just swap the logo. And they got to put an asterisk on it. Oh, well, this trade has to be processed, blah, blah, blah. So stupid. Run that draft. If the insider information keeps on happening, whatever, you can't really stop that. So if that's going to be the big issue, that's fine. When you are announcing trades and then republishing the information, do what the NFL does. I know that the league year didn't start in the NBA, but just tell us where they're going. You don't have to work in this. Oh, well, this trade may happen. We all know it's happening. Right, we know it's not official. So much easier, though, for a consumer to see it the way that I'm suggesting it. When we come on back, we talk some Big Ten football, go around college football as well. Joshua Perry, national champion from The Ohio State, joins us next.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Time to chat a little Big Ten football. We'll do so for a man that once played in the Big Ten, won a national championship with The Ohio State University. Now does a great job for the Big Ten Network. That's Joshua Perry here with us on the show. Josh, thanks for the time. How you been?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So Indiana has been a tremendous story. They go up against Ohio State. I know everyone already has Ohio State, not even penciled in, but the ink is probably drying for them getting into the college football playoff. Do we have a game this upcoming Saturday, or is Ohio State, led by Justin Fields, going to blow out Indiana?
Listen, I live in Columbus still, and you know, I'm talking to people around town, and they're like, "Oh man, this game's not going to be close. It's not going to be close. Indiana hasn't played anybody, and all this stuff." And when the game is over, it very well may not be close. Like it could be that 21 point spread that they're talking about. But I flip on the tape and I watch Indiana, and they can do some things that will challenge Ohio State. Offensively, Indiana's got really good wide receivers. Wop Fillier's a guy who I think is one of the best receivers in the Big Ten. Ty Freifogel has come out of his shell and shown that he can be a big stat guy out there. They've got Peyton Hendershot playing the tight end position. And Michael Penix is a confident quarterback. Flip that over to Ohio State, and they've struggled a little bit in the secondary. Guys have been tested. I mean, even Sean Wade, who's very highly thought of as a defensive back, has been tested this year. So I think just from that matchup, it'll be something to look at. And then Indiana's defensive front, the front seven specifically, I think they've done a really good job this year. They're, I think, the only team in the Big Ten that's top five in tackles for a loss, top five in sacks, and top five in run defense. And that just speaks to the mentality of the team. Tom Allen obviously being a defensive guy, but they go out there and they execute. They bring pressure from different places. They use different fronts, and they like to get those guys in situations where they can go out there and ball. So for three quarters, this game could look a little bit messy. It might be one of those where Ohio State does end up winning by three touchdowns. But if you watch the entirety of the game, it might look a little bit ugly for the Buckeyes. So I think it's going to be a great one. I truly do believe Indiana deserves to be in the top 10. But at the same time, I think Ohio State's got too much firepower for anybody to keep up with four quarters.
I know Notre Dame defeated Clemson, but let's be real. The three teams that are talked about all throughout the year so far has been Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. Is there a separation with Alabama and Clemson to Ohio State, or do you kind of just group all three teams together?
No, I think all three teams kind of go together. And I think this year has been really hard to judge. And that's going to be the difficulty for the playoff committee toward the end of the year here. But it's been really hard to judge. Like, you look at Ohio State's schedule, and I think, you know, teams that, out of the teams that they've played, two wins total for the opposition so far this year. You look at Clemson, and it's not the same story, but it's probably a similar story outside of that Notre Dame game where they didn't even have Trevor Lawrence. Like, what has been the marquee game on their schedule? We thought Miami was going to be a game, and Miami, in my mind, I don't think they're as good as people have them ranked. I mean, who are you going to rank at this point? And so I kind of look at that, and then Alabama, I think they deserve to be in that number one spot solidly. I think they performed really, really well. Mac Jones is a guy who's getting that Heisman talk, and he definitely deserves it. And Saban teams are always well-coached. They always play well at the end of the year, too, which is what championship teams do. But those three teams are the ones I have my eye on. Notre Dame definitely deserves to be in the conversation, but I also take their victory with a grain of salt. You know, DJ Uiagalelei is a really good quarterback. He's not Trevor Lawrence. And so when you play a team and they don't have potentially the best player in America, it's really hard for me to take it at face value. But, you know, that's why we play the games, and that's why we wait until championship weekend, and then, you know, they make the draw for the playoff.
When you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, as we're talking to Joshua Perry right now on the show, you know, he's one of the more hyped and touted prospects since Peyton Manning, since Andrew Luck. You know, those are the other two names people mention when they bring up Trevor. I don't want to say people forget about Justin Fields because he's right in the Heisman conversation. He's going to be the second quarterback selected in the draft. Do you get that feel a little bit, you being the Ohio State guy, that some sleep on Justin Fields, on what he could be at the next level, even though he's going to be the second quarterback taken in a top five pick? Like, what do you think his ceiling is in the NFL?
You know, I think early on this year that was definitely the case. And it was because he wasn't playing. And Trevor was playing so well so early. You know, it would have taken Justin doing what he's doing right now for him to be back in that conversation. I mean, you look at the completion percentage between both of those guys. You know, Trevor Lawrence is in the high 70s, damn near 80%, and Justin Fields is over that 80% mark. And both of those numbers are really unheard of metrics in terms of accuracy for a quarterback. I think that's what both of them do well. But Trevor had all that time for, you know, 6 or 7 weeks or whatever it was to do that, and everybody was watching him and nobody was watching Justin because they couldn't. That now that Justin Fields is back and he's played the way that he has, I think that conversation is definitely swinging to Trevor's probably the number one guy. I think he has the, you know, the build. I think he has kind of the skill set. You know, he's a true passer. but he can definitely move around. But I think now just people are starting to see the fact that Justin Fields can definitely be a passer too. And I think it's very intentional that he hasn't run the ball very much this year to show that he can be the guy who can sit back and he can wait for the play to develop and make the right read and take care of the football and make all the big throws that he's been making. It's really good quarterback play. I think it's so hard watching college games at times because some of the quarterback play just isn't that great. But when you look at the high level right now of quarterbacks, and, you know, outside of Fields and Lawrence, you've got Trask and you've got Mac Jones, like you talked about, and a few other guys around college football just doing a really good job right now.
Talking to Joshua Perry, Wisconsin at Northwestern this weekend. Wisconsin get upset, or you roll with the home team in Northwestern?
You know, I love the matchup. I really do. I think this is going to be a wonderful game. Going through my game notes earlier today, I think Wisconsin's good, but I just don't know how good they are because they played two games and they played a couple of dogs in Illinois who struggled, in Michigan who struggled. They blew both of them out, right? So you know they're good, but how are they going to respond when they get the big test? And I think Northwestern has been battle tested this year because they've won close games, and I think that's what they're going to do. Offense is not super explosive. They don't have to be because they have an elite defense, like the number one statistical defense in the country, and they'll be able to rely on that. Wisconsin's built different this year. They've got Graham Mertz, who's a really good passer, and they've got some skill, but they're not going to be that pounded out type team that we've seen them do before, control the clock. That's just not their game plan, and I think that plays to Northwestern's advantage a little bit because Northwestern can try to steal some possessions. And we saw last week when they played Purdue, they went for it on fourth down a couple of times and converted. I think that's got to be a part of their game plan this week. I don't know if Northwestern pulls it off, but I think it's going to be a super close game. I think it's pretty evenly matched, and I think both of those teams are pretty daggone good.
Pat Fitzgerald, he turned down an opportunity to interview for the Green Bay Packers when Matt LaFleur eventually got the job. He's been at Northwestern as the head coach since 2006. We know that's his school. We know he was there a bunch of years prior on the staff. Do you get any feeling he maybe want to put his toe in an NFL water in this offseason or maybe go take another big-time college football job with the possibility of Michigan opening up?
I think if he was going to make the move, last year would have been the year. I mean, it was such a down year for them. And this was the other thing, too. It wasn't that they played poorly, but there was a little bit of turmoil within his staff. And Fitz is a very loyal guy. He's loyal to his assistants. He's very loyal to his players. And I think he had a really hard time making changes on his staff. And it was something he had to do. So there was a time for him to just dip and kind of say, hey, you know, I've spent my time. You would think it was last year because this year they're playing so well. And, you know, they win this game over the weekend. He's going to be back up there in Big Ten championship game probably. And, I don't know if you want to necessarily leave on that. But probably fielding offers and they're probably enticing. Like Michigan would be an enticing opportunity for him. He's done way better with less. A school that has some academic overlays and a school that, doesn't have as much money, frankly, running through it as Michigan does. You feel like he could do a pretty good job there and really challenge, but I don't know. He seems to be just Northwestern through and through, and I understand that completely. So it'd be interesting to see if he would make a change.
Last week, I got myself in some trouble with the Ohio State fans and also just people on the Cleveland local radio station because I said I would love for Michigan. I said it would never happen, but I would love for Michigan to at least place a phone call to Urban Meyer. We know Urban would reject it, but that would be radio gold if Urban Meyer ended up coaching the Michigan Wolverines.
Absolutely. I mean, we sit here in media and we're a drama and controversy business, you know, like that is the drama that we would love. Now, for me as a former player, a guy who played for Urban, you know, I'd be side-eyeing him a little bit like, man, how could you do that? But at the same time, Urban's a guy at this point who's chasing legacy. He's a guy at this point, you know, hey, if you could go out there and somebody's willing to pay you $10 million a year to do something that you love, why wouldn't you at least consider the opportunity? I mean, you watch him on Big Noon, and he can't even say the word Michigan. He says the Wolverines. So it would be a really big pivot for him to go from not being able to say Michigan to being the head coach of that university. But, it's great for conversation for sure. We talk about the Texas job with him, too. It's got Buckeye fans real tight. People in Columbus don't like that conversation.
You think he will coach again, though, right?
It's tough. It's tough. I've spoken to him. He seems really content. I think he's at that point. It's got to be the right opportunity, and it's got to be for the right dollar amount. And so what I say by the right opportunity, he's got to have Mickey Moradi with him. He's got to be able to bring Mark Pantone, pick anybody he wants on his staff. You know, like, they give him full control over how much he pays his assistants, full control over, you know, any modifications he wants to make to facilities, locker room, whatever. I mean, literally, he's going to want to have all that. And it's got to be a place where he feels like he could win a national championship. I don't think he's going anywhere in a situation where he feels like, you know, he can't win the championship. He's in for a build. And I think Urban's done a great job over his career as being a guy who can build a program. The opportunity to build it has to be there.
There were some rumors last offseason about possibly going to the NFL with the Cowboys. That never came to fruition, never even got an interview. Could you see him as an NFL head coach?
Absolutely not. And it's the control thing. And I thought the Cowboys was always mysterious because Jerry Jones is as front and center as any owner in the league, and he likes to have control, and he wants to make the personnel decisions, and he wants to do the post-game interview. And I never thought that would be a fit for Urban with his personality. But I think he would struggle in terms of, you know, you can't treat a seven-year vet the same way you treat a sophomore in college. And it's not to say that he mistreats anybody. It's just to say it's a different game you're playing and managing personalities. And I think that's one thing about a college locker room is there are definitely some personalities, but guys are way more humble, and they're way more willing to just do what the coach says. When you're dealing with a seven-year vet, he's going to look at coach and be like, I don't want to do that, so I'm not doing it. I just don't think that's the situation he wants to be in.
Joshua Perry, does Michigan need to move on, or does Harbaugh need to move on for Michigan? Do they need to split at the end of this season?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think that they need to do something. I don't think the defense is working for him right now. I'm surprised that the offense looks the way that it does. And whether that's just some soul searching they have to do as a program, whether that's getting the players and the coaches on the same page, I have no idea what it is. But I go out there and watch these games, and I see a defense where guys aren't fighting to get off a box, guys aren't fighting to make tackles, guys aren't playing with passion. I watched one play. It looked like they were trying to let Wisconsin score. It was so bad. And that's not what you're used to seeing. Like, we played against Michigan teams that played hard. I've watched Michigan teams recently that have played really, really hard, played well on defense. I'm thinking about 2016 in the Shoe. Like, that was a battle. And those guys were really good defensively. And then I look at the offense, and I think probably one of the biggest indictments on Jim Harbaugh right now is the quarterback play during his tenure.
No doubt.
It was always a situation where it was like, the next guy is going to be better. The next guy is going to be better. And now we're on, like, you know, three next guys, and none of them have been good. And the one that really got me was when Joe Milton threw the ball right to the linebacker for Wisconsin. I feel like that right there is something that should never happen when you're supposed to be a quarterback whisperer and a guru. And so I really do think there's some soul searching. Whether they need to have a breakup, I have no idea. But what they're doing right now ain't working.
And Penn State stinks too. How about Penn State?
Yeah.
So disappointing.
Yeah, but
I don't think it's actually disappointing because I'm a Temple fan, so I enjoy seeing Penn State go through a run like this.
But here's the situation for me. I think Michigan's struggles are more indicative of where they're headed as a program.
Agreed.
Than Penn State struggles. I think Penn State right now is just a down year. They got to sort some things out.
The Indiana game messed them up. I really do believe that. I don't think they ever recover from that.
And then you back it up with Ohio State. It was a bad situation from the jump this year.
Well, Joshua Perry, great stuff. Keep up the good work with the Big Ten Network, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Thanks.
There's Josh Perry right there. We come on back. I got to get to tampering in the NBA, because what the NBA is trying to do right now to the Bucks is absolutely ridiculous. We'll tell you about that on the other side.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We all know, as this is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, we all know the biggest joke in the NBA is tampering. They try to make such a big deal in some situations with tampering and then just blatantly ignore other situations when clearly tampering goes on. So a few days ago, this report comes out that there's going to be a sign and trade before free agency even commences, which I guess it starts on Friday, and then you can officially get deals done on Sunday, that the Bucks are going to have an agreement with the Kings and Bogdanovich is going to go to the Kings. You also heard that there was another trade, and this didn't have any impact on free agency, but Drew Holiday got traded for 3 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps from the Pelicans to the Bucks. And the thought process was, as Giannis, we're waiting to see if he signs the Supermax extension and stays in Milwaukee, you get Bogdanovich, you get also Drew Holiday. That is more likely to see a Giannis Antetokounmpo decision of him staying and wanting to stay in Milwaukee with another year left on his contract. Then, yesterday, we were talking about this on the air, it looked like the Bogdanovich deal was off because he wants to test the restricted free agency market and see if he could orchestrate a trade with another team because maybe he doesn't want to go to Milwaukee. So I scratched my head and I said, you know, that's a little bizarre to me because it seemed as if he really wanted to go join Giannis Antetokounmpo. So last night after the draft, I'm watching Brian Windhorst, or as they call him, Windy. He was on ESPN. And Windy was saying that this report of Bogdanovich is a cover-up and he will probably still end out in Milwaukee, but people inside the league were annoyed that this was agreed to several days in front of NBA free agency starting. It is an absolute joke if the NBA steps in here and finds a way to negate this move from happening. Now, if Bogdanovich doesn't want to go there, that's one thing. Him being a restricted free agent, if he doesn't want to do a sign and trade, they're okay. But now I'm reading that from Mark Stein that the NBA is opening an investigation of the reported transaction involving Milwaukee and Sacramento. Give me a break. Because the NBA didn't say a word when LeBron James, for a year plus, used Rich Paul, that connection of his pal Rich Paul also represents Anthony Davis, to court Anthony Davis to LA when he was still on the Pelicans. The NBA did nothing when Kyrie and KD, in front of you, basically said, we're going to team up and we're going to go elsewhere next year. And we all knew they were going to Brooklyn. Or I'll never forget the night I was on the air. And before we started the show, Paul George was in OKC. Then the minute free agency opens up, Kawhi Leonard is in Los Angeles with the Clippers. And they already had a deal done between the Thunder and the Clippers to get Paul George out of Oklahoma City. If the NBA prevents this trade, and if they go through with all this tampering and they put a punitive action on the Milwaukee Bucks, you may as well just save us the fine, you know, save the Bucks the fine, save the dog and pony show of some big, bold punishment because it's a joke. Just come out and be honest and say, we don't want Giannis staying in Milwaukee. We want Giannis going to a big market and forming a super team. Because you can't ignore LeBron getting his way, Kevin Durant getting his way, Kawhi Leonard getting his way, and then try to punish a superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because if you block this trade, and I don't know, maybe Giannis wants to stay in Milwaukee. Maybe he does, and maybe he will. But if this move ends up being the thing that makes Giannis say, oh, you couldn't get Bogdanovich, you know, you got Drew Holiday, but that's not enough. I need more pieces, so I'm going to bolt, then shame on the NBA. Shame on the NBA. It is ridiculous how we all know it is a clown show with tampering and how they just selectively decide, oh, yeah, we're going to pursue this thing. We're not going to pursue this thing. Giannis is a big star. If there's some tampering going on here, so what? You've already made tampering a big fat joke as it is. Oh, what a disgrace. An absolute disgrace. Chase, you got to be livid too. This is a joke. They may as well just say, we don't want Giannis staying in a small market. We want him out of Milwaukee. They ignore all these other cases of tampering.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? And it's just frustrating because it's just pick and choose. It's a joke. We all know it's a joke. You can't stop it. You're not going to be able to stop it no matter what you do. Just accept it. Maybe not make it obvious.
They're all
buddies
now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the league is. They're all going to, all these players get what they want. Draymond Green, he gets a tampering fine. Remember that? He was on that show at TNT. He got a tampering fine because he wanted Devin Booker out of the Suns. Magic Johnson got a tampering fine for complimenting Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're going to pursue those, but we're just going to conveniently overlook LeBron, flip the page. Kevin Durant, flip the page. We want him in New York. Oh, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, flip the page. Flip the page. We want him in L.A. Come on. And are there actually executives in the NBA on other teams that are furious over the Bogdanovich situation? How could they be furious? It's probably the same teams that tampering worked to their advantage. And the NBA is this player-driven league. The players could do whatever they want. So because Giannis and Bogdanovich maybe had a conversation to lay the foundation and then that report got out, that's what's going to prevent this from happening? Can you imagine if they step in, don't let this deal happen because of tampering, and then Giannis goes, I'm gone. I'm out. I'm going. I'm going to go to Golden State next year. I'm playing 1 year out. You trade me, then I want out. You didn't get Bogdanovich. I don't know if Bogdanovich is the deciding factor. You could probably get someone else. But this is the best comedy show I've ever been to. Because now this tampering is important, but the other tampering, yeah, we could just look over it. Nope. No worries. No issue. What a joke the NBA is. What a joke the NBA is. And I was watching that Windy report last night. I go, oh, that's pretty shrewd move. People are starting to expect you tampering. I don't want to go there. And then you'll eventually want to go there when free agency does open up. That's the NBA for you, where there's no logic. That should be the NBA's statement. You could tamper just as long as you aren't a small market. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And I will stand up, since we are in Milwaukee, I will stand up for the Milwaukee Bucks. Because the NBA is usually like Oprah during Christmas time. You get to tamper, you get to tamper, you get to tamper. Oh, the Bucks? Oh, Milwaukee? Nah, we're not going to let you tamper. Big, fat joke. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.